the minig of Yisrael, the minig of Klal Yisrael, is to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat. And this minig is brought down in the Magen Avraham. And this is the lashon of the Magen Avraham. V'noyagin ha'ashkenazim laharbois b'minei peiros shel ilanos mishum shu Rosh Hashanah l'ilanos. It is the minig of Ashkenazim. Apparently Sfardim don't have this minig, but the Ashkenazim on Tu B'Shvat eat a lot of fruits of trees, because Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. All halachas concerning vegetation and trees revolve around Tu B'Shvat, which is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. So therefore, there's a minig to eat fruits of trees. And he brings this down from a Svardi Sefer called Tikkun Yisoscher. And Rabbi Schlesinger had a question: why does he bring it from this obscure Sefer, Tikkun Yisoscher, which he hardly ever quotes, when he could quote it from the Mem Tzadik? Who's the Mem Tzadik? It's a Siddur which has Dinim and Minhagim of the whole year. It's called Maglei Tzedek. And this Siddur, the Magen Avraham quotes very often. And the Siddur, Maglei Tzedek, brings this same custom down. So why did the Magen Avraham go to an obscure Sefer, which he hardly ever refers to, and instead of the Maglei Tzedek, which he quotes very often? Rabbi Schlesinger suggested maybe he wants to show that even the Svardim knew about the minig of the Ashkenazim, even though they themselves don't keep this minig, but that's why he quoted the Svardi Sefer, Tikkun Yisoscher, that even the Svardim were aware that the Ashkenazim have this minig. What Rav Schlesinger was trying to discover is what kavana should a person have when he eats the fruit? And that is, what deeper kavana should he have when he eats the fruit? And he made a connection with last week's Parsha B'Shalach. And Amir Shem, if you remember this year, next year when you eat the fruit, you can have this kavana. The Mishnah says in Masechta Avos, Perek Hay, a bunch of things that have to do with the number 10. And one of them is, Asara Nisyonis Nisu Avisenu Es HaMokom Boruch Hu Bamidbar. There were 10 tests that Klal Yisrael made of Hashem in the Midbar. Normally, Hashem is the one who tests a person with the various trials and tribulations that a person has in their life. It's Hashem testing us. But in the Midbar, we tested Hashem. And where do we find that we tested Hashem 10 times? It says a pasuk in Parsha Shlach in Bamidbar, Vayinasu osi ze eser pa'amim, v'lo yishamu b'koili. They tested me 10 times, Hashem says. They didn't listen to my voice. And what are these 10 tests? We're not going to go through all 10 of them. One of them everybody knows is the Egel, which is not written in Parshas B'Shalach. But 7 of the 10 Nisyonis are written in Parshas B'Shalach. And the Rishonim have different, the Rambam, the Rav Bartanura, the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Meiri have different cheshbonis, what the 10 are. It's a little funny that they don't count exactly the 10 that the Gemara mentions, which Rashi in Parsha Shlach, Perik Yudalit, Pasuk Chav Beis, brings on that Pasuk, Vayinasu Osi, so Rashi brings down 6 of the 10. He also doesn't bring down all 10. He says, etc. Look it up in the Gemara in Masechta Erechin. So let's see what Rashi says. So, first of all, there's an interesting Rashi there. Vayinasu osi, they tested me. So Rashi says, kimashmoi. The word kimashmoi means, the pasuk means the way it seems. And this Rabbi Schlesinger pointed out, this seems to be a very easy Rashi. Rashi's saying, you see what you get. In other words, the way the pasuk translates itself, that's what it means. The question is, what's bothering Rashi and what's he answering? What's he asking and what's he answering? He's saying, Kimashmoi, the way you see it is what you get. What's he bothering Rashi? So we'll come to this question in a moment. Rashi continues, Vayinasu oisi ze eser pom, 10 times, says Rashi, Shnayim bayam, there were two tests at the Yamsuf, Shnayim b'mon, there were two tests at the mon, Shnayim b'slav, there were two tests concerning the slav. All of these six tests that Rashi mentions are written in Parsha B'Shalach. And then he says, etc., Kide'isa, I think the Rashi uses the word there, I don't have the Rashi in front of me, v'chulu, which means etc., Kide'isa b'mesachta erichin, as we find in Mesachta erichin, where the Gemara discusses the ten tests. So what is bothering Rashi when he said, Vayinasu kimashmoi? What's the question? What's the answer? What's he trying to explain? So Rav Schlesinger brought down that Yosef Shaul Natanzin, a great posek, brings down in his sefer Shoal Umeshiv from his father, a pshat. But Rav Schlesinger felt that there's a difficulty on this pshat. What is the pshat? So he said that many of the commentators on Chumash say that it wasn't really 10 times. For example, the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam. Again, this is not like the Gemara, because the Gemara delineates exactly what the 10 tests were. But many of them say, it's like in Yiddish, there's an expression, Erd getondas tzendlike moral. He did this tens of times. You know, like a parent gets angry at their child, they say, you do this all the time. You've done this tens of times. The child maybe did it twice, but three times. But in the parent's eye, they've done it tzendlike moral. So the same thing here, that's how the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra says, Hatam, the meaning of the word eser, 10, is not really precisely 10, but rabim. It means many times. Vehisker esker, so why does the Torah use the word 10? Bavura yoy sach cheshben ki hu soifa chodim. Vereisha asorei sheheim b'machberes hasheinis. In other words, the Ibn Ezra says that the number 10 is a nice, concise number. It's the end of the single units, 1, 2, 3, up to 10. And it's the beginning of the tens, 10, 20, 30, 40. So so the Ibn Ezra learns it doesn't precisely mean 10. It means rabim, tens of times. So now the Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzin says in the name of his father that's what Rashi's trying to say, that 10 is kimashmoy. It's not like the Ibn Ezra that says it's not precise, it's many. But rather, the Torah says 10, the Torah means 10. The way the translation of the word 10 is 10, exactly. We're going to see that there's 10 altogether. Rav Schlesinger did not like this pshat. Why not? Sounds like a great pshat. Because Rashi doesn't use the word kimashmoy on eser pamim. Rashi uses the word kimashmoy on vayinasu, testing. The testing was precise. So if Rashi would have said, Zeh eser pamim kimashmoy, it would be a beautiful pshat. That not like the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam say that eser is not exactly 10. It's just many times, tzendlike pamim, tens of times. So Rashi's saying, kimashmoy, no, it's exactly what it is. That's good if Rashi would use that explanation on the word eser pamim. But Rashi uses it on the word vayinasu. So it's not clear what Rashi, and I don't think Rav Schlesinger answered this kasha in the shir, it's not clear after all, what does Rashi want to explain with the word vayinasu, that kimashmoy, as it would indicate, what is Rashi trying to explain if the father of the Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin Pshat is not acceptable, what is the Pshat in Rashi?
Does Rashi mention all 10 things?
No, Rashi itself says 6 of the 10, and he says, look up the Gemara and Erechim for the other.
And in Gemara and Erechim?
The Gemara and Erechim says all 10. Yes.
Okay.
Now, what Rashi says, let's go through Rashi, and we'll also add, we'll just go through the 7 that are in Parsha B'Shalach, in last week's Parsha. But let's see what Rashi brings out. So Rashi quoted Shnayim Bayam. So what are the two that we find in the Yamsuf? The first one is Pashit. Everyone agrees to the first one. In Perik Yudalit, Pashit Yud Aleph, it says, Vayoymru al Moshe, Hamibli ain't kvarm b'mitzrayim l'kachtonu lomus b'midbar, So when the Jews were surrounded by the Mitzrim, they had their back to the wall. There's no, they couldn't go up front is the Yamsuf and back is the Mitzrim. There was no way out. They were surrounded. So they complained to Moshe. And they rebelled against Moshe. There's not enough graves in Mitzrayim. You had to bring us out to the Midbar that we should die here. Why did you take us out if we're going to die here? So that was the first test. What's the second test? So we find the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tezvav, Tanya, Amar of Yehuda, Esther Nesuyanis Nisu Avasen LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnayim Bayam, Shnayim Bamayim. And this is difficult, why Rashi skips these two. Rashi, remember, again, Rashi says, Shnayim Bayam, Shnayim in the Mon, and Shnayim in the Slav. But in the Gemara in Erechin, before you get to the Mon, it, and after the Yam, it sticks in the middle, Shnayim B'mayim. There were two which we're going to see about water in this week's Parsha. Then the Gemara says, Shnayim B'mon, Shnayim B'slav. And then the Gemara says, Achas B'egel V'achas B'midbar Parin. What was the Shnayim B'yam? So the Gemara says, one when they went down into the Yam Suf, and one when they went up from the Yam Suf. The one when they went down into the Yam Suf that we said already before, Hamibli ain't kvorim b'Mitzrayim. When they were about to go into the Yam Suf, they rebelled against Moshe. What's the one when they went up? So according to the Gemara, that one of all the ten is not written explicitly in the Torah. Rather, Chazal figured it out. But if you look in the Torah, you won't find it written in Torah Shebiksav. The Gemara says, you know what that one was? When they went up out of the Yam Suf, Kir Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna, Yisrael Shebaisi Ador Miktanei Amona Hayu. They didn't have so much faith, the Jews who went into the Midbar. As we find, Kir Rav Bar Mori, the Amar Rav Bar Mori, Mai Dichsiv, Vayamru Al Yam, B'Yam Suf. The Pasuk doesn't say Vayamru Al Yam Suf. Or Vayamru Biyamsuf. It says it twice. Vayamru al Yam, they rebelled concerning the Yamsuf, Biyamsuf, in the Yamsuf. So Chazal figure out, oh, you know what it means? They rebelled concerning the Yamsuf that was going down into the Yamsuf. Then they rebelled Biyamsuf when they were already in the Yamsuf and they were about to come up. They also rebelled. That's where you see it twice. So again, it's not mefurish in the pasuk. It's according to a drasha of Chazal because of the repetition of al yam bi yamsuf. So going down, what we said before, hamibli en kvar b'mitzrayim, and going up, melameh shahayu yisrael mamrim boi seshav oimrim kishem she'anu oylem mitzad zeh kach mitzrayim oylem mitzad acher. They didn't have faith. They thought that the Yam Suf did not drown the Mitzrim, just like we're getting out on this side, over there on the other side, which we can't see, the Mitzrim are getting out. They're going to regroup. They're going to run after us again. They're going to kill us again. What did Hashem have to do? He told the Sar Shel Yam, the prince, the Malach in heaven that governs the Yam Suf, to spit out the bodies of the Mitzrim, V'ro Shemesu HaMitzrim. So then they saw that the Mitzrim, in fact, died. But the Jews didn't have correct emunah. They rebelled. Even after they saw the Ness of Kriyas Yamsuf, they said maybe the Mitzrim are being saved on the other side. So those are the two concerning the Yamsuf. What are the two that the Gemara says about water? One is Mora, one is Rafidim. Both in Parshas Bishalach. Mora, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bishalach, Vayavoyu Morasa, V'loyachlu lishtois maya mimora, ki morim heim. V'yoloinu amamayshu lemer man nishta. The Jews came to the Mara. It was bitter waters. They rebelled against Moshe, and they said, what should we drink? So the Pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe to take a piece of wood. He put the piece of wood into the water. The water became sweet. They were able to drink it. Refidim, also Parsha B'Shalach, Vayachnu b'Refidim, they camped in Refidim. Ve'ein mayim lishtoisom, the people didn't have any water to drink. Vayorevom im Moshe, and the people rebelled against Moshe, and Moshe
made them hit the rock there, and he made water come out. So those are the two about water in Parshas B'Shalach. Shnayim B'mon. There were two rebellions concerning the mon. Hashem said, Al Teitzu, don't go out on Shabbos to collect the mon. Vayetzu, Dasan Vavirim went out to collect the mon. Al Yaisir Mimenu Ad Boiker, don't let any over till the morning. If you do, it's going to get rotten. Vahesiru, they left over the mon, it got rotten. So it comes out so far, we already have six in Parshas B'Shalach. Two about the Yamsuf, two about the water, two about the mon. And now the Gemara says, Shnayim B'Slav, there were two concerning the Slav. And one of the two we find in Parshas B'Shalach, the Bnei Yisrael said to Moshe, Miyite Musenu B'Yad Hashem B'Eretz Mitzrayim. Bishifteinu asira baser ki oitzei semoisano alamidbor azeh lohamis as kol akol azeh barav. We wish we'd be back in Mitzrayim when we were sitting around the meat pot instead of you taking us out to the midbor where we're going to die in the midbor in hunger. And then Hashem brought the slav, he brought the mon. So it comes out, according to the Gemara in Erechin, seven of the 10 tests that the Bnei Yisrael tested Hashem in the midbor are found in last week's Parsha B'Shalach. Now, the Rishonim do not go like the Gemara. It's interesting. And what's bothering the Rishonim? Because one of the 10, as we mentioned, is not written beferish in the Torah. Chazal see it because of the double bayam, al yam, bayam suf, that they made one merida, one rebellion against Hashem when they went down into the Yamsuf, and one when they came up out of the Yamsuf. But the Rishonim, the Rambam says, for example, all 10 are written beferish in the pasuk. So, and they therefore they have all kinds of different pshatim what the 10 are that are written beferish in the pasuk. So there's a sefer called Tashbats. The Tashbat says, if you're looking for one, a tenth one, that nine everybody agrees is written in the Torah. The tenth one, the elusive one, which the Chazal say is not written in the Torah, Beferish. But the Tashbat says, if you're looking for a tenth one that's written in the Torah, I have it. What is it? And again, it's in Parshas B'Shalach. Perik Tezvov, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yamsuf. Moshe forced the Bnei Yisrael to leave the Yamsuf. Now, if it says he forced, it means they didn't want to. They didn't want to. They wanted to stay there. They were reluctant to leave. Why were they reluctant to leave? So Rashi says, Vizel Lashonai, this is the Lashon of Rashi, Hesion Bal Korcham, he made them leave the Yamsuf by force. Why? She'itru Mitzrim es Suseim, B'tachshit Ezov HaKesef. Because the Mitzrim had their horses mounted with gold ornaments and silver, vavonim toivus and precious stones, umargolius and pearls. V'hoyi Yisrael might see noisam b'yam. Now, when the Mitzrim died and the horses got killed and they washed ashore, so what did the Jews find? All these horses that had gold and silver on them. V'gdoyla haisa bizas hayam bibizas Mitzrayim. There was more gold and silver that the Jews found in the Yamsuf than what they took out of Mitzrayim. And how do you know it? It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which says, Ture Zov nasa l'cha im nekudas hakesef. With the nekudas hakesef, spangles of silver, nekuda is like a dot. In other words, Nekudas HaKesef, you found the Mitzrayim. That's how Chazal explained this pasuk. But Ture Zov, necklaces of gold, where did you find that? That you found on the Yamsuf. So compared to the booty of the Yamsuf, Mitzrayim was only spangles of silver, little dots of silver. The booty of the Yamsuf was much, much more than that. That's compared to necklaces of gold, Ture Zov. This is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph. So we understand that Moshe Rabbeinu had to force them to leave the Yamsuf because they were getting all this booty. Yeah, go on. Then when the Jews went out, the Mitzrim got drowned, and then the water, the Tsar, it says they thought that the Mitzrim are going to go up from the other side. So the Malach and Shemayim that controls the Yam Suf made the Yam spit out all the riders and the horses. And the,
it was on the same side as Bnei.
On the same side that they should see. Yeah, so not only did they see that they died, they saw, here's some more gold and silver. So they were busy. So the Ramban says that the miracle that Paroi and Mitzrayim, after what they got hit, 10 Makis, and Makis Bechairis, that he ran after Bnei Yisrael, that was a bigger nest than the 10 Makis of Mitzrayim. That Hashem put in his mind that he got shmettered, he got knocked out. It's like a guy in a boxing match gets knocked out. He's finished. And then after that, he gets up. He wants to still. You know what's going to happen to you. So the shigoyin, that the foolishness of Mitzrayim to chase after the Bnei Yisrael and try to get the Bnei Yisrael back as Avodim into Mitzrayim was a bigger miracle than the Eser Makis. So the question is, after the Bnei Yisrael saw all this, were they so involved in gold and silver? They just saw Zeh Keli V'Anveyu at the Yam Suf. They sang the Shira. It says that a maidservant, Rosa Shifcha Layam, Mashalei Rosa Yecheskel Ben Buzi HaKoyin B'mara. What Yecheskel saw in the Shemayim about Hashem, that the Shifcha Layam saw much more. Yecheskel didn't see as much as a Shifcha Layam. So they're seeing this Ruach HaKodesh. They're seeing images of what's going on in heaven. They have Ruach HaKodesh. And at that time, Moshe has to force them to leave because of the gold and silver. We would think their values are in heaven. So it's a difficult Rashi. But we'll have to say that when a person sees the green dollar, he can forget. That's what Rashi says. However, there's a pshat which a Sefer Tzror Hamor says, he brings it from a Zohar, a Medrash Hanelam, that it means something else. You know what? He had to force them, but not because of the gold and silver. Lefi she Yisrael he see gumayla, vahasaga gedoyla, berias hashchina, Ka'omram zeh kelim vaveyu, achenenu mizivoy, b'nei Yisrael, the opposite, because they came to such levels of spirituality, and they, zeh kelim vaveyu, they were able to point and say, that's Hashem. And they were able to have pleasure from the ziv hashchina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'olchu mishulchan elechem abirim, v'isnavu nevuos gedoylois asidos, they saw future things. They didn't want to leave. Their hasagai spiritual, the spiritual bounty that they were getting there was unbelievable.
That's not testing Hashem.
One second. They wanted to have more and more of ruchnius of Hashem. So just the opposite. Because lo yiroyes shivcha aliyah, mashal. Because of Shifcha saw so much more than Yecheskel, that's why they didn't want to leave, and Moshe had to force them. It could be that still, if Moshe says that Hashem wants you to go, good, I'm getting spiritual things, but Hashem says I should go, I have to go. So it was still considered a test. But at least we understand that their test was not a physical test, because that seems so hard. They're up in the spiritual hemisphere, and they're still worried about the gold and silver. That it's answering that one question. There's a very interesting Das Akenemi Bali Atoisus on a Pasuk in Parshas Vayakhel, and it's really a Gemara Masechta Yuma, where the Pasuk says, Vanesiyum Eviu Es Avnei Ashaya. The simple pshat is that the Nesiim brought the stones which were worn by the Kohen Gadol called the Avnei HaShoah. So the Das Sekenim says that you know what Nesiyah means? It doesn't necessarily mean the princes of Klal Yisrael, of each Shevet, but rather Nesiyim can also mean Ananim. Clouds are called Nesiyim. Kishahoya Hamon Yoirid Li Yisrael, Hoya Yoirid Imoy Avonim Tavis Margolius. When the Mon was coming down from the clouds, with it came precious stones and pearls. And how do you learn, where do you know this from? Because it says in the Pasuk, Perik Lamed Vav Pasuk Gimel, in Parshas Vayakel, Vehem he viyu elov oid nedova baboiker baboiker. And we find the same thing by the Mon, Perik Tezayin, in Parshas Beshalach, Pasuk Chafale, Vayilketu oisoi baboiker baboiker. So just like the Mon every day came down to the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, so we make like a Gzei Rishav, a comparison, boker boker to boker boker. And just like here it was every day the Mon coming down, here it was every day the precious stones and jewels coming down. The question is, what did the Bnei Yisrael need it for? It says that in Mitzrayim, every Jew took out 90 donkeys full of gold and silver from a tribe. It says, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. They emptied out Mitzrayim of gold and silver. The only gold and silver that was left was the ones that were on the horses. That they got on the Yamsuf. But in Mitzrayim, they emptied it out, and they needed 90 chamoirim, 90 donkeys to carry each Jew to gold and silver. And we learned before from Rashi that that's no comparison to the gold and silver which they got in the Yamsuf. So now Hashem says, wait a second, you know what? I have to give you more. When the Mon comes down, I'm going to give you the Avonim Tovis Mergolius as well. Genukshoin, what do they need it for? What's the purpose of it? So Rav Schlesinger wanted to give the answer to this question as follows. And this is based on the Alter von Kelm. The Alter von Kelm says, we think that when Moshe told the Bnei Yisrael, enough, let's go, Vayasa Moshe, he forced them to leave the Yamsuf because they were busy getting the gold and silver, not Wamsha, we said, was the Ruchni, it's spiritual. But we're going like Rashi says, the physical, the gold and silver. The Parshim Shad is, Moshe says, enough, you got to control yourself. You got to say, enough, die, Genukshad. The Alter von Kelm says there's a whole different idea over here. And that will explain why the gold and silver and the precious stones and jewels, pearls, came down with the Mon. That's what Rav Schlesinger wants to say. What Moshe was trying to explain to the Jews when they were like in this frenzy getting gold and silver is, you can't live off gold and silver. When a person collects gold and silver more and more, after a while you forget this is coming from Hashem. Well, a person reaches, he's in the Fortune 500, so he forgets about Hashem. He made himself. We've seen people in one day, they can go from being the richest man in the world to the poorest, but when he's in the rich stage, he forgets that it's all coming from Hashem. So Hashem, Moshe wanted, this is the lesson that the Alter von Kelm says, Moshe wanted to teach the Bnei Yisrael, not self-control, but he wanted to teach them that you can't live off gold. Hashem made it that you can't exist from gold. You can have all the gold in the world, all the silver, all the precious jewels in the world, but if you don't have bread, if you don't have water, you can die from starvation. So right after the Bizas Mitzrayim, the next Parsha, right afterwards, after the Yamsuf, is they came to Mora, and they had bitter water which they couldn't drink. So Hashem says, no, take your gold and silver. You're rich. You're the wealthiest in the world. Why don't you drink that? I can't exist from that. So Hashem wanted to teach us that lesson. And that's what Rav Schlesinger says. That's why the gold and silver came with the Mon. Because Hashem's teaching you, when you get the gold and silver, don't forget that you can't exist from gold and silver. You need Hashem to give you existence. And the bread and the water, the plain things in life which we take for granted, that's what gives you sustenance. That's how Hashem made the world, that a person can be the richest man in the world, but if he doesn't have bread and water, he'll die of starvation. That's the lesson. We'll understand this lesson more with our Marsha, Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Marsha says, Shamati Derech Tzachos, I heard by way of like a joke, a light. If the Marsha says like a sort of a joke, he's not saying it to tell us a joke. He's telling us for the lesson. What's the lesson? It says in Kehelis, Oyev Kesef, La Yizba Kesef. Simple pshat. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us a person who loves silver will never be satisfied. Yei Shlomona writes a Messiah. You have 100, you want 200. You have 200, you want 400. You never happy. The Marsha says a different pshat. This is the like funny pshat that he's saying, which has a lot of truth in the funny pshat. He says, there was once a man who loved silver very much, and he asked from Hashem, everything I touch should become silver. And Rav Schlesinger says, and that's the name of this year, there's a guy who is in stocks and investments and portfolios, and people say about him, whatever he touches turns to gold. That's an expression. So Hashem fulfilled his wish, and whatever he touched turned into gold. But it came out that when he wanted to eat bread, it became golden bread. And it became, he wanted silver. He wasn't such a Baltaiv, he didn't want gold, only silver. So it became silver, he wasn't able to eat. That's the pshat. Oyev kesef, if you love silver, remember that lo yizba kesef. Kesef is not the thing that's going to give you sustenance. Oyev kesef, you like kesef, but lo yizba kesef. Silver is not the thing that's going to satiate you. He brought down from the Sefer, Avram Anoichi writes, that this person who loved silver, the only way he could eat is if somebody like Esav, which Esav ate, they Yaakov stuck the food into his mouth. Halikteini nam in Adam Adam Azeh, like stuff my mouth. That's this person, because if it touched his outer lips, it would turn to silver. He couldn't eat it. So they had to take the bagel and lox or whatever it is, and in his mouth they had to put it that it shouldn't touch the outside of his mouth, that it wouldn't turn to silver. Otherwise, that was the, and he says a rule that if somebody else is feeding you, you don't get satisfied. You only get satisfied if you feed yourself. So, Oyev Kesef, you like silver? Lo Yizba Kesef, silver will never satiate you. You're going to have other people feeding you, and then you won't get satisfied either. Why he brings down... I don't know. That's what he says. He says a rule that if somebody else feeds you, you don't get satisfied. We have the same thing. If a blind person eats, he doesn't get satisfied, fully satisfied, the Gemara says. Apparently, you have to see what you're eating, and you have to give yourself the food. If somebody else puts it in your mouth, you don't feel full satiation. He brings down, Rav Schlesinger, brings down that people may have heard this story. It's called The King and the Golden Touch. This is the story of King Midas, where the Goyim have this story, but actually they stole it from us. This is a Jewish story. And where do we find it? We find it a great Rav who lived in the city of Baghdad, Syria. His name was, he wrote the Sefer called the Ben Ish Chai. That's one of his Sforim. And he wrote a Sefer, I think on Chumash, called Oid Yosef Chai. So in Parshas Baaloischa, in the Sefer Oid Yosef Chai, he brings down the following story, which is an elaboration of what the Marsha spoke about the person who wanted that everything he touches should turn into silver. There was once a woodchopper who had a tradition in his family that they were for many years woodchoppers. One hot summer day in Chodesh Tammuz, his tradition was, the family tradition, that he would go into the forest, cut wood, then schlep the wood on his shoulders to the cities and sell his wood for the fireplace, for cooking, for whatever purposes. That was his daily, and he made a few copper coins every day. So one day, in the hot summer, he's sitting under his pack of wood on his shoulders, and he begins to think to himself, why am I cursed that from the day I was born till now, my
my whole existence is working hard to cut these wood and to schlep the wood. I've never eaten any meat. All I eat is onions all day. I've never touched a gold coin in my life. All I've ever touched are copper coins. And he began crying bitter tears. And as he's crying these bitter tears, he falls asleep. And he begins to have a dream. And Rav Schlesinger says he's going to elaborate on this dream, because he, in this sefer, he dreamt it when he was sleeping. He says here, we, many of us, dream this dream when we're awake. That's the American dream. And he says, unfortunately, you have this on tzedakas. Many tzedakas, what is the come on that you should buy this raffle? The come on is a huge high stack of green papers. Or a Caribbean trip, or some kitchen appliance. Okay, a trip to Eretz Yisrael is already. But never have you seen, let's say, that a person who wins this raffle. So Rav Schlesinger said, okay, he's going to get Olam Haba. A person who wins this raffle is going to be taught shas in Olam Haba. Or I was thinking, you get 1 week to be a chavrusa with Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, right? They don't do those raffles because they're nervous that it's not going to sell too well. But if you get a whole, if you get a house, if you get a new car, an appliance, stacks of green papers, that's going to sell. So this person, yeah, and then you wait, of course, for the call on the phone. You are the winner of this magnanimous of this huge raffle. You won. So that's what we wait for when we enter these raffles. So in this dream, suddenly appears to him a boy, a beautiful boy, and in his hand is a golden rod. And the boy says to the man, Hashem has listened to your cry, and he's answering to you. You have one wish, and whatever that one wish is, he's going to give it to you. So he said, okay, whatever I touch with any of my limbs should turn to gold. So the boy said, you got it. Hashem agreed. And he touched the man with his golden rod, and then the boy disappeared. But as he disappeared, in the dream, he sees the boy is like chuckling. He's laughing. So the man thought it's like a nervous laughter, like he's jealous. Look, I just had one wish, and I dreamt, I said something that you can't get better than this one wish. You couldn't ask for anything better. Whatever I touch, it turned to gold. This boy is certainly a shliach of Hashem. And let me see if it works. So in the dream, he takes one of the pieces of wood on his shoulder and he touches it. Sure enough, it turns to gold. And he starts dreaming, fantasizing. Oh boy, now what I could do, I'm not going to chop the wood. I'm going to hire workers, first of all, to chop the wood. I'm going to touch it, turn to gold. I'm going to buy a huge palace and furnish it with Italian furniture and beautiful Italian furniture. I'll even make it more beautiful because I'll touch it and it's going to turn to gold. I'm going to become not one of the Fortune 500, but I'm going to become the top of the Fortune 500. But then as he's having all these dreams, suddenly in the dream he feels that he's getting thirsty. And so he grabs a hold of his earthenware jug, which has water in it, turns to gold. Beautiful. I don't have to drink water anymore from an earthenware. I can drink from a gold. But then he puts it to his mouth, and as he puts the water, it touches his lips. It turns to gold as well. And then he realizes, oy vey, what did I do to myself? That means I'm not going to be able to eat anything. Whatever I touch is going to turn to gold. I'm going to die of thirst. I'm going to die of hunger. And he begins crying, oy, what did I brought upon myself? I wish it was the other way. And now I know what that boy was laughing about as he disappeared. He was laughing, the joke's on you.
And he woke up from his sleep, and Baruch Hashem, what did he have there? He had the wood on his shoulder. He had the jug, the earthenware jug with the gold. He said, I'm happy. Samech b'chalkoi, I'm happy with the wood. I'm happy with the earthenware. That's it. So this is the story of the king and the golden touch that the Goyim took from this story brought down by the Ben Ish Chai. Now we understand what the altar of Kelm was saying. Moshe wanted to teach Klal Yisrael that you're collecting all the gold and silver. Stop collecting the gold and silver. Remember that gold and silver, Oyev Kesev LaYizba Kesev. That's not going to satiate you. What's going to satiate you is bread. Hu alechem asher nosen Hashem lachem lechol. We say in Parshas Hamon. And he says that last week people have a minig. The Rimmon of a Rebbe supposedly used to say it on Tuesday of Parsha B'Shalach, Parsha Amon. People say Parsha Amon a whole year every day, but specifically Shnayim Mikrav Echad Targum. So what do people wish when they want when they say Parsha Amon? They wish that everything they would touch turns into gold. What they really have to think of Parshas Mon is that lesson. That with the Mon came down the Avodim Tovim Margolius. What do you need it for, we ask. The answer is to teach you this lesson that Oyev Kesev Layizba Kesev, that you have, the altar from Kelm says, Lo Shamati Me Oilam, I never heard even an Adam Beinani, a middle class person, and certainly not a rich person that would ever said, oh, wow, Hashem, last year, did he give me a good year? He gave me bread to eat a whole year. You never hear that. Maybe if you have a real good person, they'll say, I had a good year last year. My stocks did well. My investments did well. That's if he's already a better person, he'll thank Hashem. No, we have to, Birchas Hamozen, the lesson that Yaakov Avinu was a grandson of the Avraham became like one of the richest people in the world. What did Yaakov Avinu say to Hashem? Hashem Horoya Oisi. May Oidi Ara Yom Azeh. Hashem, who the Targum says, Hashem Hazon Yasi. Hashem, who gave me food. He gave me bread to eat. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made Birchas Hamozon, the first brach of benching is made by Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he make it on? Did Moshe Rabbeinu make that we should bench on gold and silver? No. Moshe Rabbeinu made that we should bench on that which satiates us. He said, we're almost finished, but he said a beautiful pshat. We said 10 vayomers. There are 10 mamorim. When the world was created, Hashem and Bereishis created with 10 words, 10 Vayomer Hashem. And the Mephorshim, look, what are the 10? The Gemara says there's only 9. What's the 10th one? The Gemara says Bereishis itself is a Vayomer. But one of the 10 Vayomers, the Sfas Emes brings down from the Rebbe Rabbunim, Vayomer Lekim, Hine Nasati Lechem, Es Kol Esav Zareya Zera, Apnei Kol Aretz, Es Kol Aetz Asherboi Priyetz, this Vayomer is one of the 10. Most Rishonim don't say it's one of the 10 because this was said on the sixth day when autumn was created. The prayers were all created on the third day. So and then the pasuk says Vayechi Chen. It was so. So what was created here? It was already created on the third day. How could you count this as one of the Vayomers? The answer is, on the third day, what was created was fruits, oranges, apples, bananas, etc., etc. But on the sixth day, it was created, lochem yiyeh la'achlo. Hashem could have created all these beautiful-looking fruits and vegetables, and I'd eat it, it would be like gold and silver. I wouldn't be able to eat it. It wouldn't give me the right nourishment. So on the sixth day, we're thanking, we Hashem, and that's what we have to give thanks to. When we say, Boyre Priya Eitz, we have to think in our minds when we eat. That's what we have to have kavana when we eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat. We're thanking Hashem not only for creating the fruit. We're thanking Hashem that you gave us something in the world that can nourish our bodies. Because gold and silver is Oyev Kesev Lo Yizba Kesev. Kesev is not going. Kesev is not going to give you sustenance. It's only gold and silver. It's only bread and meat and on all these things
all these things that give us sustenance and nourishment, that's what Chazal were kavei a brachas on. That's what we have to thank Hashem. When Alexander Mugdan came, Alexander the Great, who was a tremendous Baltaiva, he came to Africa, and he came to a country that was run by women, and he was going to defeat them, so the women came out. It was all run by women. So the women said to him, "What are you're going to run us over and conquer us? The world will say, oh, Alexander the Great, he conquered a country full of women. Big deal. Of course you're able, you're stronger than women. You're going to... So leave us alone." So they prevailed on him, and he didn't bother them. And then he said to them, "Okay, bring me bread." So they came out, and they brought him a gold piece of bread on a gold plate. So he said, "What's this?" So they said, "Well, we figured if you bread itself, you don't have to come to Africa to get bread that you have in your own country. If you're coming to Africa, it's for gold." So the Ben Yoyada explains they were trying to give him this mussar. You're a Baltaiva. You're running all over the world to collect gold and silver. But Oyev Kesef LaYizma Kesef. If you forget that Hashem is the one who gives you sustenance, and for that you need bread and water, and you have to thank Hashem for creating foods that give you nourishment, and that's what the mon is all about, to remember that when the gold and silver and precious stones fall down, what's giving you nourishment is the mon. If you forget that, then your life is going to be like that person that with the Midas touch, you're going to be gold, but you're going to forget that everything comes from Hashem. What you have to stress, remind yourself, is that when you get the gold, it's coming from Hashem. The only way to realize that when you get the gold, it's coming from Hashem, is to thank Hashem on the food that Hashem sustains you with. And then he said the story of Rothschild. One of the Rothschilds, by accident, locked himself in his safe, and he didn't have a cell phone to call out that he's in the safe. And he was pounding and pounding. It was over a weekend or whatever. And he died in the safe. And before he died in the safe, he wrote a note. And he said, "I, Rothschild, I collected all the gold and silver and diamonds in the world so that I should never die of starvation. And here I am in the safe with all the gold and silver and diamonds, and I'm dying of starvation. Take a lesson from what happened to me." And they found him dead after, when they finally discovered and they opened the safe, they found him in there. And we conclude, he ended, "Today I was in a restaurant and I picked this up. It says this, the most expensive kosher pizza pie was sold by Pizza Time Brooklyn, New York for $731. It was the first pie baked after Passover 2007 and was auctioned off on eBay. The money went to support a certain Bikur Cholim." So that was, pizza pie gets $731. But Rav Schlesinger said that a safer brought this down just to see how warped people can get. What was the most expensive food in the world? The most expensive food in the world was a dessert, which people ate after the regular dessert, after already he said, there's a madrega of kedei svia, you're full, there's a chila gasa, which is more than full. After that, they presented this. This dessert was made of 28 beans of chocolate, and in it, there's some kind of gold that you are able to eat. It had 5 grams of a 24-carat edible gold. With the plate together, this each portion sold for $25,000. So in other words, he's trying to show, you know, some people are going to try to find a gold that you could eat. And there's other people who are going to be smart and they'll say, you know what, I'm going to daven to Hashem, that everything I touch should turn into gold, except the banana and the apple and the pear and the bread and the meat. I'll outsmart Hashem. That I talk and need Hashem Sviya. That even Rothschild could die out of starvation. But the rest, everything else, whatever I touch, it turns to gold. So, what's that?
Why do we daven?
We daven Oyshev Kavod to serve Hashem with Oyshev Kavod, but not to forget that it's coming from Hashem. The point is, you can have gold and silver, But if you get involved with gold and silver, Hashem made the world in such a way that you always have to come on to the bread and water. There's no one with all the gold and silver in the world who doesn't have to come on to bread and water to teach you that it all comes from Hashem. And don't forget, when you get the gold and silver, it's from Hashem. So that's the lesson. And that's what we really have to learn from the Mon when we daven for Parnassa. Which everyone should be zeichet to have the right kavana when they say Parshas Haman.